spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow. Standing on an endless horizon with our faces turned.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings and salutations, friends, foes, and I don't knows. It's been a wild couple of days at the blogs, and I see no reason not to continue in the same vein as I seek to bring out the grain in the exotic wood that my head seems to be composed of. I've been talking about Fundy Christians the last few posts, and of course, the impression left is that I don't like Christians in general. Well, of course that's not the case. I'm about as sanguine concerning Fundies as I am Wahhabis and any religion that is too overly concerned about temporal authority when it's getting out of this world that counts, not deeper into it. In an age of materialism, in an age of darkness, well, it stands to reason that vehicles for spiritual progress would turn into organs for material gain, material control, and material obfuscation of everything real and enduring. Yeah. I'm sorry, my friends. I always let the radio show go to the last minute, and many times I don't get to put any notes together, and I just have to, like, wing it here. And rather than not give you a radio show, I'd rather just give you a public example of my limitations and shortcomings when it comes to expressing myself without cue cards, yeah, or something like that. Tonight I'm in the saucer pod, but I was unaware of actually getting into it, so I'm not sure where I'm hovering over anymore, because the world is so uncertain that one can no longer see the terrain through my little GPS map that comes up. No, for all I know, I'm not even in the saucer pod. I'm locked up in an institution, and I'm wearing a restraints and various things, and imagining that I'm here talking to you over the airwaves, whatever waves these are, instead of, like, waiting for my medication to arrive when Big Nurse shows up. Anyway, enough of that. Let's face it, people. If it wasn't for fundamentalists, they wouldn't have been able to put all these wars together and gotten nearly enough people to get maimed and dead in them. It's a foxtrot, or, more specifically, a polka to the dark side, when God is on your side and everyone else is collateral damage. It's a metaphysical reality that God is invisible in this world, impalpable in the next, or really hard to find, depending on the state you left here in. going on 7 billion, or is it 8 now? I don't know. Going on however many people came here because of the significance of this time period, it stands to reason that this is a very important period of time. How significant is this period of time? Look at the percentage of people who forgot why they came here. And that should tell you something. That should also tell you something about the power of materialism to obscure one's best interests from the seat of reason. With the entrenched force of magnetized dust that makes things we don't need come together in shiny packages, and that force being so strong that people forget the importance of the life within in favor of the very temporary gains of the life without, true seekers are walking through a minefield of resistance and danger in their pursuit of the important thing. Make no mistake, achieving personal contact with the everlasting is the single most critical effort one can ever make. It's the one thing the fewest people show any interest in, and which the largest number of people will tell you guides all that they say and do, until you see what it is that they say and do, and it dawns on you that they can't be talking about or working for the same entity you thought you were seeking employment with. The truth is, at least in my own case, I've been getting pretty upset lately. And I shouldn't, obviously. I should be more detached. I should be more, you know, removed. You know, after all, I'm here and they're there. But the truth is that, well, I can't hide from the things that make me angry. I see them in front of me all the time. And it becomes more and more clear to me that a very large population block is directly responsible for all the killing and torment going on here, because somehow, some way, Jesus told them they should kill brown people. Lots and lots of brown people. Now, I don't know how much time anyone else has spent around Muslim people, but I have spent some time around them. And they're among the most decent and law-abiding people I've ever met. When I say law-abiding, I'm talking about cosmic law. I could give a rat's posterior about the sort of laws one can run into today. Most all of the laws in recent times are made by order of multinational corporations and bankers, and I have zero use for either of them. Oh, I guess I've been lucky in a lot of ways. I never saw accumulated debt as my fast track to a better life. Ergo, I've never owned a house, only have a credit card for occasional convenience, and didn't get a driver's license until I was 35 years old. I either rode with friends or it was within 10 miles of me, so I walked. I lived in teepees for years or some sort of makeshift but a workable structure in the woods. Eventually, I had to come to terms with the world insofar as basic needs go, because, hey, the world changed on me. Staying in a teepee stopped to be a viable option once building inspectors came into play, although a teepee is arguably not a building, but, hey, they make laws for that, okay? I'm going to have a sip of tea, so just hang out for a moment. Man, when you get that first blush tea, you know, with all the flowers on the tops, I mean, well, if you like tea the way I do, you can really tell the difference. Anyway, I had to come to terms with the world. I think that's what I was talking about. And my idea of coming to terms with the world, well, was to become an outlaw. Because law-abiding in this day and age means giving up everything that makes you human. I mentioned the tyranny of minorities over a sleepwalking majority recently. Since I maintain that everything is about sex, period, I mean, every single thing in life is somehow connected to sex, it's interesting to note that one of the major tyrants of social change and control in the present is sexual. And the other is based on hooking up Marshall amps to the biggest victim industry this world has ever known. It's the height of irony to punch someone and scream out in pain when you connect. Yeah, exactly. Here's some of the basic problems that we deal with here. Materialism makes you stupid, and it can do it very quickly. Within a few generations. Yeah, within a few generations, ordinarily bipedal life forms can drop down onto all fours and find themselves eating grass instead of pâté foie gras. No, that was nice off-the-cuff visible. You should do that more often. Well, anyway, when stupid goes into action, one of the first things you notice is that large blocks of the public are content to believe anything they are told as long as they get a big screen TV and don't get busted for porno. Yeah, well, basically. Excuse me. You find that people will sell out their dearest possessions, although they have no idea of the value of these things and probably don't access them or assess them anyway all that much, but they'll sell out their dearest possessions in order to possess and enjoy things that have no real function or lasting value besides distracting them from the value of their dearest possessions in the first place. You know, it gets easier and easier to pass that hitchhiker on the highway or to ignore the man with the cup on the sidewalk when seen through a windshield that has been transformed into a television screen. As if to tell you, he's not looking for a ride anywhere. He's just a prop. It's been put out there by Central Casting, and you have the firm conviction that he'll be going home to his family once his shift is over. The same way a man will... I talked about men. Let's talk about women for a moment. I mean, I don't know. For some reason, I went for man because it was a man sitting with a cup, okay? So it's not like some sort of subliminal chauvinism. So please forgive me. Anyway. This guy with the cup, he's going to disappear into the duplex behind him once the drinking hour arrives. This is a kind of disconnect that occurs in the age of materialism. Somehow you know that those less fortunate than you probably deserve everything they get. They were bad people, and they certainly weren't Christians, or they wouldn't be in that mess. We build huge cathedrals as testaments to a God who generally hangs out in wild places. God doesn't hang out in the cities because he doesn't like being pushed around. He might make telepathic contact, and he might operate invisibly, but he's not going to have a cappuccino at Starbucks because the wireless chatter interferes with his peace of mind. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, except that sometimes it's not easy to know something when all the appearances that surround you are saying something different. The senses lie. But they don't do it intentionally. It's a matter of bandwidth, and the bandwidth of the senses is limited. So it also stands to reason that the people coming around and talking to themselves as they go down the sidewalk or standing in an alley might actually be carrying on a real conversation. They understand this sort of thing in primitive cultures because this sort of thing is very real there. In our world, well, it's just inconvenient and intimidating. One of my favorite things is the dreams people have on their way to getting rich. They have a cash flow problem at the moment, but as soon as they are flush, they're going to help the whole world and make it a better place. But they never really get there, you know. You can't switch those horses in midstream. If self-interest is propelling you, you have to come up against some traumatic epiphany in order to be able to be put in a position to digest what's really going on in the first place. Because otherwise, you won't make the shift. And besides, you know, like a strong river, there's quite a current there. Anyway, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I can't believe I filled up all this space talking out of the side of my head. But hey, that's how it goes. In the meantime, between now and then, I'll see you next time and all the rest of that, I just hope that the love of the Almighty will emerge in your heart and rule, motivate, and inspire your every thought, word, and deed. That said, well, that said, aloha, Hare Krishna, and Haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.